we got 99 problems.
And this episode maybe going to be one of them.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast, streaming live on Digital Stream Radio. You can listen live every Monday night at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. My name is Tom, and I am your host. And as always, with me are my amazing co-hosts, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all, Nick or Trish.
And
good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And welcome you all to
The Dish.
So we've got an amazing show for everyone. We've got a guest on coming on the second half of the show. We have Meg G from the UBU podcast with Meg and Liv joining us on the second half of the show to talk a little bit about their podcast and what they do. And they're amazing. And if the name sounds familiar, that's because she is the wife of Nick G, who we had on the show, I would say probably a couple dozen episodes ago. But an amazing guy and, you know, amazing woman. Only fitting that they found each other, fell in love, had children and all that good stuff. So I'm super excited to talk to them and do all of that amazing talkative stuff that we do here on the show.
And Trish was actually on their show.
Of course.
Yeah, no, I was on Nick's show, the Dependent Independent podcast. If you haven't checked it out, you definitely should. It's a great show.
Yeah, he covers a lot of really good stuff, and he's very diverse in the topics that he chooses. So
yeah, it's all about creating conversations.
Which is good.
Yeah, so...
which is what we do here on the show. So, all right. So we've got a show that we have to obviously get to, but we do have a cocktail that we need to mention, and we'll let Christopher take care of that cocktail for us. So, Christopher, what are we having?
Well, since we're having Meg G on, and she has the podcast all about moms, we wanted to go with a mom-themed cocktail. So today we're doing the Bahama Mama.
Yes.
Now, there's a lot of different ways to make this, a lot of different recipes, but we're kind of going the simple and affordable route since, you know, Tom and I are college students. Trish just bought a car, and y'all know Gay Talk don't pay, so we're going the economical way today. So the Bahama
That actually rhymed. Gay Talk don't pay. We're going the economical way.
There it is.
Yes.
Hello.
TM. CM. Okay, so
Christmas tune.
That's right. So our version of the Bahama Mama consists of four simple ingredients. We're using Malibu coconut rum, orange juice, pineapple juice, and some grenadine. I'm going to go ahead and read what Tom wrote here. Mix the motherfucking shit up. Twinkle ice and pour.
Yeah. Twinkle ice is my favorite part.
I know.
Twinkle that ice.
I didn't think he was actually going to read it, but he did. Good for you. I'm proud of you.
Your hard work does not go unread, Tom.
So last week, you were away. Our friend Toby was visiting from Germany, and you went away. And we really didn't give you an opportunity to tell us just a little bit about your trip. So why don't we do that? Talk about your trip. How was it?
It was a great time. It was a lot of driving. It was exhausting. It was scary at points. I definitely drove. I was the only driver. Toby he has a license in Germany, but he doesn't really drive because, you know, in Munich, you can walk or take public transit. So I did the driving from Connecticut to St. John.
Which is scary in itself.
Well, the scariest part was, you know, it started snowing when we were on Airline Road, which is the long road from Bangor, Maine to the Canadian border. And we found out later at the border that they used to call it Dead Man's Road because it's these single lanes, windy, no lights, very, very scary. And it was snowing lightly, but the second we crossed the Canadian border, blizzard. I was going like 35.
And this was that day that we had the crazy snowstorm in Connecticut where everything was shut down. So I can only imagine what it was like up there.
It was... I've never been more white-knuckled in my life. My face was literally smushed against the windshield going 35 kilometers an hour. So, like, crawling down the highway. It was the most intense moment of my life. I was pouring sweat. I was terrified. I was absolutely terrified for our safety. You know, I almost pulled over and said, we're not going to the Airbnb tonight. We're going to get a motel. Because that's how afraid I was.
Motel, motel.
Sluts. So,
thank you. We're the sluts here. In this situation, we're the sluts. Went to the Notel Motel.
Shut up.
I love it when people call me by my first name. It's just amazing.
So anyway, we made it to Canada. Like I said, we were doing a lot of traveling. The really cool things was we drove to the Bay of Fundy, which we were in Alma, New Brunswick, and they experienced the most dramatic tide changes anywhere in the world. So we actually were able to walk out on the ocean floor. We walked about a mile out from the beach and we're collecting scallop shells and looking at rocks and just standing where 6 hours later from where we were would be 30 feet underwater.
Which, during like supermoons, it is said that the tide that goes out or comes in is even that much more dramatic.
It's pretty incredible, because when we first got to Alma, we went to the general store and we were talking to the lady working there, and she's like, oh yeah, leave your car here. You can go walk wherever you want.
Wait, can you do that again, please?
Oh yeah. I think there's an accent. The Canadian comes out sometimes, don't you know? That's Minnesota. But anyway, so so we left the car.
That sounded Irish to me too.
Well, no. I have identity issues. So.
Oh, wait. So, Trish, you're not our only bipolar person on the show.
I guess not.
She does languages. You do people.
Yeah. I don't know which one's more confusing. So we were walking up to the beach. It's crazy because the boats that were at the docks were actually on the ground. And then 6 hours later at high tide.
You did send us a picture about that.
Yeah, they were mm-hmm. actually on the sea floor. And then, you know, five, six hours later, they would be 30 feet higher. So that was really cool, being able to drive to the Bay of Fundy. We did bowling, which is even harder in Canada. I'm terrible at bowling here, but they have like duck pin bowling, the really small balls with the tall, skinny pins. So that was a cool experience.
Sounds interesting. Small balls with tall, skinny pins.
We can't keep things nice.
No tell motel. I don't know what's happening.
I hate you, Trish. I hate you. So anyway, we also did an escape room, which is really cool. We did one in St. John and Fredericton. If you haven't done one, I highly recommend escape rooms. They're a really good time.
Yeah,
this whole thing, you're just setting this up.
I'm not.
No-tell motel.
Never said that.
Skinny pins, small balls, escaping rooms that
talk
you're
about
stuck
bondage.
In.
Uh-huh.
I thought this
know.
Was about my experience in Canada, not how you perceived
Toby.
It.
Well, you're telling us your experience. We're just extrapolating from what you've said thus far, what actually happened.
No, you're just making your own fantasies up.
Oh, yes.
I'm just going to end it with, I was able to watch curling, and that was a lot of fun. We got to go to a curling match, and I enjoyed that very much.
Oh, my God. And they went all the way to Canada and got Domino's pizza.
Okay, well, like I said, when we got there, it took us 12 hours to get there, and since there was a blizzard going on, no one was delivering. I was done driving for the night. I was done. I just drove 12 hours. I was exhausted. So we were ordering takeout, and the only place that was delivering was Domino's, and it was going to cost us $60 Canadian for two medium pizzas. $60. And we were like, fuck that. So Toby couponed the shit out of it. We got it for $20. What are you going to say, Trish?
Nothing.
Okay. Because
$60, but what's that in US dollars?
Like $53.
Oh.
It's not, I mean, it's
what were they charging you? Like a nuisance fee for making them drive out in a blizzard?
Pretty much. Understandable. But the best part about that pizza, I'll always be grateful for Domino's. The next day, we pulled back in after going to the Bay of Fundy, after grocery shopping, excuse me. And the Jeep I was renting, we got stuck on ice in the driveway. The driveway was a sheet of ice. So we said, you know what, screw it. We'll leave it there. We'll worry about it in the morning. It was supposed to get a little bit warmer. It didn't get warm enough to melt all the ice. So we were still stuck. I managed to almost rotate the Jeep completely to be able to get out the driveway, but there was still part of the stairs blocking it, and I couldn't get it out of there. We were throwing snow under it. There was no sand or dirt or anything. Toby goes inside, grabs the Domino's pizza box, shoves it under the front left wheel. I step on the gas, and we're out. So Domino's saved the day. I'll say that, Domino's. Well, thank you.
A little confused. He talks about how much he loves Canada all the time. And this entire story, I'm like, okay, so you almost shat your pants while you drove up there.
Like four times.
You got stuck in the driveway. Yes. You almost paid $60 for pizza.
Oh, I didn't even tell you how much of the alcohol costs out there.
And he still loves Canada. I'm super confused.
And we're going to Canada. Why?
It's my happy place. I just feel at home there. I will say I've been to the provinces I've been to Quebec. I know, Nick, not a word, but it is. And then I've also been to Ontario, but New Brunswick, they are the absolute nicest people. Everyone wants to talk to you. We talked to the delivery guy for about 10 minutes when he brought our food.
That's why everybody else's pizza is late, because Canadians just talk to their delivery people. The normal response is, thank you. Have a good night. No. Oh, how you doing? Yeah, I know. That's not even the right accent. I don't know what I'm doing, but like, come on. Like, let the poor delivery guy go.
But when we were playing pool, this one woman, the woman working the bar, was like, you're so free-spirited and outgoing. You're just like one of us. And I was like, my heart.
She lied to you. Totally lied to you. She was being Canadian. She was being nice.
All right. Well, seriously. Anyway, overall.
So you still have to go to Alberta, Saskatchewan, and
Manitoba. And then
and
I also have to go to British
Alberta.
Columbia. You said Alberta. But then there's also Nova Scotia, Prince Edward Island, and then the three territories.
Okay.
10 provinces, 3 territories, checked off 3 of the provinces.
Well, he went to Alma and checked her battery, so we're good.
Okay. So I'm glad that you made it there safely. I'm glad that you're back. It's good to have you on a show, on a full show, because last week, yeah, you just got here, sat down, you said two words, and I was like, forgiven. He had a long
drive. That was also a drive, long drive home, yeah, right? It's a
9-hour drive, right?
It took us to get here, yes, 9 hours.
Yeah, okay.
So I want to say a little something about my weekend.
All right, tell us about your weekend.
So I went away this weekend. I went to Mass to visit my friends, but this moment happened. We all went out on Friday night, and we get back, and my friend who, really good friend, I married him. I was staying with him and his husband, and he was like... Let's have a dance party. I was like, I'm super tired. Like, I had a really long day and blah, 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 blah. So he's like, well, I'm having a dance party. So him and his husband start dancing, and this is what happens.
What did you say there?
Did you say dip me?
No, he said spin me. So they're having this beautiful, like literally the video was over a minute long.
It was absolutely beautiful.
It was cute.
But I cut it to 12 seconds because they were dancing and they were like kissing and like it was adorable. And then my friend goes to spin my other friend and it just like was an epic fail. And he just turns around and he's like, the demon comes out and he's like, spin me! And I was like, whoa, how did I get that on camera? That was so funny.
That's amazing.
They are hilarious.
Yeah, you had a little getaway as well, so, yeah. Which is good.
Yeah, no, it was nice.
It's
yeah.
always good to have a nice little, you know, time away.
Yeah. And then I just came back to a shit show, so we don't need to talk about that.
Welcome back. Mm-hmm. All right. So, I won't even talk about my weekend. It was really uneventful. I worked at the bar as usual, did karaoke, which ended up being a good night overall, I thought. Was it good for you?
I did great, yes.
Good.
Oh my God, I totally have something to add. I wanted to come to karaoke last night, but I freaked out because, so I was taking it easy, you know, getting ready for my second week of school, and I'm like, you know what, I'm not going to have anything to drink tonight, and I was going to have some tea. So I put the tea kettle on the main burner, I turn it on, I go to the bathroom, I come back, I can start hearing the water starting to boil, but I don't smell anything. I walk by the entrance to the kitchen, go to the TV, I like move something around, I come back, out of the corner of my eye, flames. And I mean flames. Electric stove, too. My fucking stove caught on fire. The tea kettle was once a bright, luscious silver you could see a reflection in, and now it's fucking black.
How the hell did that happen?
I think someone that was cooking while I was gone, not going to say who, maybe had some grease get in the eye.
Damn Puerto Ricans.
And I mean, when I'm talking fire. Like, I wanted to come out, but I was shaking after I put it out.
Okay, so when I call you mess in life, like, generally my response to every text or snap he sends me is mess.
Mess. Very
true. Four-letter word.
Or I'll cut you.
Super easy. And I think this is a prime example.
This one wasn't my fault. I did put out the fire, though.
I'm proud of you.
And he's not burnt.
That's the universe telling you that your boss needs to come pick up this goddamn fucking...
I know. It changed those stoves.
I have sitting in my living room that's been there for like ever and that I need to get rid of.
I think we're coming to get it on Wednesday.
But it's become like a staple though. There's photos on it. Like,
right. It's like every week you come, there's something different on it. Now there's like pots and pans.
If you have too many guests over, you can pop a squat on. You could open the oven and that's like a seat right there.
I will cut you. I will end your life. Anyway, so we do have some things that we need to cover before we go on break and bring Meg G from the UBU podcast with Megan and Liv back. Not back, but on the show. But I wanted to point something out. We received an email from one of our subscribers, which these emails really are the highlight of our podcast. You know, when people reach out to us.
Except for the ones where you're continually emailing to roast me.
That's oh, no, we encourage those. Those are great.
They keep
Which,
coming
by
in.
By the way, we're a week away.
I have to get some material together.
You better hurry up, because let me tell you, I've spoken to Dave, and he's loaded.
Oh, Dave had, like, roast Trish material together before this podcast even got together. He was just like, what? There's going to be a time in the future where I can roast the shit out of her on air.
Oh, my God. Anyway, talk about the email.
All right. So, anyway, so to our listener and our subscriber, Marcus, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to reach out to us. He sent us a very lovely little note, and it said the following. It said, hey, guys, I just wanted to start off by saying your show is awesome. I began listening about a year ago while I was in search of trying to find a show to listen to on my commute to work. Since then, I tune in every week. I mostly come back for the different topics. It's always important to hear the things that go on outside of our own bubble. Also, listening has provided me the opportunity to recognize how important it is for our community, for us to be aware. Unfortunately, our work is no longer where...
I got
our
this.
Work is no.
Unfortunately, our work is nowhere near finished.
Thank you. And I appreciate that there are people in our community who give a damn. So, again, I appreciate what you guys do and keep up the good fight. So, to Marcus,
you know,
here's a message for you.
You know what my favorite part about the email was? When the email came in the subject line, it just said a note of appreciation. And I was like, oh my God, this isn't going to tear me down. I'm going to read this email. It's not about roasting Trish or something I said or blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, and it was so sweet.
It was. It was. And, you know, and we get them periodically and we try to you know, recognize in some way, shape, or form on air when we get these. So, again, Marcus, thank you. And we're proud that, and happy to have you on board with us. So, all right.
The merrier.
Absolutely. It's always good. So, we've got some stories. I don't feel like I want to start right now. So, maybe, Chris, we'll let you go. Why don't you kick off the stories this week?
You want me to get it started?
Yes.
All right. Well, I'll take
That's
it.
Actually, you know what? Let's wait, because I think your story would be great right before the break to bring in Meg.
Actually, okay. I was going to go with my second story, but that's very good, Nick. We'll go. You take the lead then.
Okay, right. Great. So, so this is a little negative, but also very important. So, anti-LGBT homicides nearly doubled in 2017. The first line of this article that I read, "If you think it's a dangerous time for LGBT people, you're right." And what's important about that is we keep talking about that. We keep talking about that on our show. And I keep talking to people in general conversations who are like, well, it's better now. You know, it's accepted. You're fine now. And this is a prime example of, no, it's actually not better. And we do need to keep fighting. So there was a stunning spike in hate-related homicides of LGBT and HIV-affected people in the U.S. in 2017.
Gee, I wonder why.
With the number reaching 52 homicides, up 86% from 2016, according to a report released today by the National Coalition of Anti-Violence Programs. It's the highest number recorded by the coalition in its 20-year history of tracking hate crimes. 20 years. The victims were mostly transgender women and gay, bisexual, or queer, cisgender, non-trans men. People of color made up an overwhelming majority of the victims, 71%.
It's not surprising. I mean, we talked about this before, especially in our trans community.
African-American victims represent over 50% of the total 20 years of their statistics. And the reason I saw this article, I didn't know if I wanted to bring it up, but I'm bringing it up because it's so important. It's so important that people realize, yes, the world is changing and slowly, but there's the potential, and we've talked about it, regression, and it's happening, and it's clearly happening. And I'm not going to say that it has anything to do with our current administration, but it does. Like, why would it jump in 2017? 86% because of the rhetoric that's coming out of that White House.
Well, think about what got inaugurated in January of 2017.
And it also has to do with more local governments. You have to look at the states. Obviously, with the administration, it's showing people that you're allowed to get away with this kind of discrimination. But when you look at certain states in the South and Middle America that aren't on board with the states along the coastlines, which are putting bills into legislation that say that these anti-discrimination bills, and with these certain states passing more of the Religious Freedom Acts, it's opening up the doors to allow this discrimination to take place. Mm-hmm. Of course, the White House is almost saying that this is acceptable, and then the states are following suit or following in order with that. Mm-hmm. But it's really, I think, before it gets tackled at the White House, at the federal level, the states need to start taking this legislation on at their, you know, back at home.
Yeah. And I think states have stood up. I mean, just
of course they have.
Like last week with Connecticut flying the Haitian flag, for example. That's an example of how the states have stood up and said, no, we don't stand for this. But that doesn't mean that people with the ideals of the people that are in power currently will not embrace the fact that they feel like they have the power to attack us.
Right.
Well, they feel like they have the power to not only attack the LGBT community, but women and minorities and people in general. I mean, this has been one of the most divisive administrations that we've ever had in our history.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Ever. I mean, even when you think back, you know, back when Abraham Lincoln was president, there's a lot written about how he really made it a point throughout his whole existence to really unite people and to fight for things that were not traditional at the time, you know, especially in southern states. You know, and there's no fooling that there was obviously some sort of you know, ulterior motive behind the emancipation, et cetera. And we know that now. But nonetheless, the efforts made through of any other president literally have been far above in capability, in sensibility, in making sense for the nation that this person that we have in office will ever have the opportunity to do, because he just doesn't want to do it.
And well, he doesn't even care or think about what he's saying.
Not only that, but the people that he surrounds himself with and the people that he put in power are milking our institutions and our economy.
But they're not staying in power either. So it's like, it's like, how long do we wait? But anyway, you know, also too, with Meg coming on the show and the UBU podcast this week, I've been thinking a lot about my relationship with I have my mom, my biological mother, who I love dearly, and then I've got several other women in my life that have become very motherly figures to me. And this article reminded me of something they said to me. Two out of the three women in my life that I would consider mother figures said this to me: I support you no matter what you do or who you are, and I love you no matter what, but you are choosing a very dangerous and a very scary and unsafe life.
Well, first of all,
and not choosing, but like you are about to embrace this. And this is part of it. Like this is exactly the, like, if I was a father and my son or daughter were gay, it's like, I want them to feel empowered to be who they are. But at the same time, I want them to know what they may or may not face. Mm-hmm. And I'm proud of us for every week standing up and talking about the fact that we have to keep fighting, we have to keep moving forward, and we're proud of who we are.
You know, and you have to think about, you know, organizations, for example, news outlets like The Advocate, who published the article that you're talking about. Actually, the author was Trudy Ring, was the person who published the story on The Advocate. But you have to think about, you know, for example, The Advocate, you've got Hornet Media, which is the parent company of UnicornBooty.com.
UnicornBooty.com!
Yes. And although, you know, the names sound a little crazy and weird, it's a very catchy name. But when you go read some of the stories that they post and some of the research that these organizations and these publications do, it is truly a testament to making sure that what's happening in our community gets out there, which is why we like to ensure that, you know, people know that these resources exist, and it's always a good thing. But anyway, I didn't want to get away from the story, but I did want to say that you know that the importance of how we react to what's going on right now with our community will determine how we're going to be able to overcome this monster that we have.
Monsters,
right? And monsters, yes.
And to go, it's kind of again staying away from the story real quick, but
that's like, fine.
Going even more with that, you know, not only is the administration pitting its supporters against people of color, against women, immigrants, people of the LGBT community, but the president has been a leader in dividing Americans against Americans and putting anyone that didn't vote for him or doesn't support him, calling those, you know, public enemy number one, attacking the news and the media, everything with the fake news. And if you saw,
didn't he release some statement about the anti-news awards or something? Hate news awards.
It was supposed to be
the fake news awards.
Yeah, the fake news awards.
What
about
an
like the
asshole.
Worst. Exactly. And the best thing that
happened. I bet you we got number one. Hello.
I would be honored. But the reason I'm bringing this up was we were talking about it when I was like, are you guys watching this on TV last week? Mm-hmm. Senator Jeff Flake.
Uh-huh.
I believe his name is Jeff.
Oh, he went on there.
Jeff Flake, a Republican senator from Arizona, you know, with a colleague of...
He's not running for re-election, so he has nothing to lose.
Exactly. He went out there and he likened the president of the United States of America, the supposed leader of the free world, to the most, one of the most brutal dictators that has ever stepped foot on this planet, Joseph Stalin, to how he would suppress anyone that spoke against him. Obviously, Stalin had the gulag and executed any person who spoke ill of him. Obviously, we're not having these murders across the country here, but he likened this man to a monster like that for going against anyone who has any criticism for him or any news outlet that just speaks the truth.
And that just goes to show you that, you know, we're dealing with someone who's a narcissist.
And a threat to democracy.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely a threat to democracy.
Hopefully people wake up and see that soon.
What Steve Bannon went in for an interview with...
Testimony.
Testimony.
The House Intelligence Committee.
And he wouldn't speak. The White House told him he couldn't talk about it.
They subpoenaed him.
Right. And then, on the spot.
Yeah, exactly.
And when you're subpoenaed... You have no choice unless you plead the fifth.
He didn't get the subpoena. His lawyers were able to speak for him. He didn't get the subpoena where he had to actually answer the questions.
Oh, yes, he did.
Yeah, he did.
What ended up happening was he went into the room. They asked him questions. He said, I refuse to answer any questions because I've been instructed by the White House not to do so. The subpoena was issued on the spot.
Yippee!
In that same room. And he still refused to do it. He still refused to answer the question, citing that there was administrative privileges.
Executive privilege. And those were never used. Those were never utilized, the executive privilege.
He can't exercise executive privilege because he doesn't work for the president.
Exactly.
He's not the president of the United States.
What they were saying was that, you know, the White House potentially had a gag order on him. Mm-hmm. And at what point do we say, all right, you can't do, like, the White House, he's been subpoenaed. We are interviewing him. We want this information. We need this information.
And he no longer works for the White House. And that was probably his biggest slip up then. Because they were saying right away that he had a big slip up.
Yeah.
So there'll be more to come.
He's going back. He's going back against the Judiciary Committee. And then he's also going back against the Senate Intelligence Committee as well. So there'll be a lot coming from him. All right, so let's move on. We've got I have a very, very beautiful story. I wanted to talk about these two absolutely gorgeous individuals, these beautiful men that got married. And the most important part of this story is, this story is brought to you, of course, by GayStarNews.com. This is a story of the U.S. Army's first gay active duty marriage that took place at West Point. And basically, two U.S. Army captains who met during the Don't Ask, Don't Tell era of our democracy. You know, as obviously President Bill Clinton was in power at the time, and he had instituted that now debunked and gone policy, which, you know, we're so happy for. And they ended up meeting, falling in love, but of course, you know, they couldn't come out at that time. But, you know, the wedding significantly took place in a glorious surrounding at the United States Military Academy at West Point. Captain Daniel Hall, 30 years old, and Captain Vinny Francino, 26, exchanged vows this weekend at the estate's picturesque chapel. According to the New York Times reported, the cakes are beautiful. Their tuxes are absolutely gorgeous.
They're cutting the cake with their saber.
They're not in tuxes. They're in their formal uniforms.
Well, here.
No, and when they're cutting the cake, they're in tuxedos.
They are.
Yeah. Yep. And of course, they had.
They're cutting the cake with a freaking sword.
It's a saber.
Yeah, it's a saber.
Whatever.
So, you know, but when you look at some of the stuff that, when they finally tied the knot, you can see them coming out of the chapel, and their brothers in the military and the armed services are there to greet them with sabers in hand, extended over as they would any other married couple. It is truly something beautiful to see in the times and the era in which we find ourselves in with this current administration. To see that this can actually happen today is very beautiful.
Especially,
and I know that Trish loves this stuff. So
especially coming out of probably the most renowned military academy that's ever been on this planet.
Of course, West Point. So I just thought it was a beautiful story to share. If you guys want to gain access to that article, we'll post a link on our post, but you can, again, go to GayStarNews.com and look at some of the articles they have. The story is there. It is absolutely gorgeous and beautiful. Congratulations to them both.
Those guys must feel so empowered.
Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful thing. You know?
Yeah, I mean, but they're making history right
now. Of course.
And it's like...
Absolutely.
It's beautiful. You know what I mean?
And could be such role models for other people that identify...
Are in the military. Yeah.
Whether they be at West Point or serving anywhere in the military, whether they be open, whether they be closeted, it's showing that, look, this is possible. And my military brothers and sisters support me.
Yeah. It's 2018. Be you.
So... Here, there's a message here. I guess somebody commented on the actual article, and I want to read it, and says, I am a retired naval officer, and I've lived through the witch hunt. It was a sin to be caught with another man, let alone be seen entertaining or leaving a gay bar. The military was actively, in any way possible, trying to find gays and kick them out. I am so proud to see this day finally come. We don't have to hide or deny our existence. I have overabundant feelings of love and pride for the newly married couple. I'm so glad and excited that in our times, they are changing. Congratulations to Daniel and Vinny. Be proud.
That's excellent.
That's so beautiful.
So anyway, yeah, that was my story. And I thought that Nick would have enjoyed that because he loves anything about marriage, although he's going to be a runaway bride. But anyway.
I'm not going to be a runaway bride.
Oh, honey, I'll be waiting for you outside. With
I'm just never getting married. Mm-hmm. But I love everybody else that gets married.
And he goes to all the weddings. Mm-hmm. And
live your truth.
Dances his butt off. All right, so we've got one more story before we go to break and bring our guest in. Christopher?
Yeah, I think Nick was right. This is a good segue for what we're, you know, because it has to do with mothers. So bringing Meg on, you know, sometimes a complete stranger is exactly what you need, you know, for help or advice. Kara Cowley has been a bartender at gay bars for 17 years, but she has never gotten a call like she did this past week. Like I said, this past week, she responded to a call from a mother whose son had recently come out, and the mother really didn't know what to say. She apparently didn't know any LGBTQ people to turn to for help, but she was really determined to find one because she wanted to know what she can do to help her son. So she called up Sips. It's a gay bar in Gulfport, Mississippi, where the lady Cowley works.
Mississippi, huh?
Mississippi, that's right.
M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P-P-I. What?
And this was reported by, there it is, reported by Apple News, and it said, smart move, LGBT bartenders give the best advice. So Cowley recounted the conversation and shared it on Facebook, and I'm just going to go ahead and read the conversation if I could. So me is being the bartender, Cowley, and lady on the phone is a mother. So she answers, good evening, thank you for calling Sips. And the lady on the phone says, is this a gay bar? She responds, well, we are an everybody bar, but yes, mostly gay. And the mother goes to ask, can I ask you a... And right away, she interrupts her with, sure. Like, of course you can ask me a question. The mother says, are you gay? And she proudly says, yes, ma'am.
All in caps.
All in caps, that's right. And the mother continues, what was the one thing you wanted from your parents when you came out? And she kind of stutters with an And the mother continues, my son just came out to me and I don't want to say anything that may mess him up in the head. So she responds, well, I think that you should just make sure he knows that you love and accept him. And then goes on to ask, wait, do you accept it? And the mother replies, yes, if that's what he wants.
No, she goes, well, yes.
Yay.
If that's what he wants.
So she maybe sounds a little reluctant at first. And the woman says, you should definitely let him know that you love and you accept him. I think everything will be okay from there on. And the mother says, okay, well, thank you. And she simply responds, you are very welcome and good luck. A simple stranger could have just made this. The mother just needed someone to talk about it.
She needed validation.
Right.
Some sort of validation for what she's feeling. I think this mother already knew.
Exactly right. That's where I was going to go
what
next.
What route she was going. I mean, she already made the effort to walk into a gay bar.
She called her on the phone.
Well, I think...
Oh.
I think
so this was over a phone call.
Gotcha. I think the most important thing to take away from this is the mother asked, what was the one thing you wanted from your parents when you came out?
Mm-hmm.
Because if we could all go back to that moment, you know that moment.
Right.
And I know exactly what I would want from my parents in that moment. And the fact that she just took the moment and step back to think about, like, all right, so my son just said this. Before I react, I need to get somebody else's perspective.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And she went to somebody who went through it and got a perspective from somebody who was on the front lines of the situation. And that is the smartest thing I think I've ever heard.
Of course.
Right.
You know what? One thing that comes to mind, I go back to the conversation we had with Tony Ferriola, and where he said, you know, when you find out that your child is gay or your child comes out to you and says, Mom, I'm gay, I'm a lesbian, I'm transgender, I'm bi, whatever the case may be. He said something that has stuck with me for a very long time. You know, regardless of how you feel as a parent about your child, support your child, show them that you love them and care for them no matter what, and then grieve and process in private.
You're right. Yep.
I remember those words and I said to myself, wow, it's like...
It was like a statement. There were like three steps to it, right? It was... I can't remember exactly what he said, though.
Yeah, well, and he said something along the lines that you have to acknowledge the fact that they have come to you. You know, show them trust. Show them that you at least love them unconditionally and accept them. Whether you agree with it or not, you can take that and cry in private. Go in a room,
acknowledge,
process,
accept, and grieve in private or something like that.
Yeah, and go behind closed doors. Do what you got to do. Cry, compose yourself, come back out, and deal with the situation. Because the worst thing that you can do is tell your son that you don't love them because of something that you
or daughter
because of something that you may or may not believe in, and maybe need a little time to process.
Right.
And I think there's a lot of situations in which people don't necessarily say I don't love you, but a parent's reaction to those words, whether it be sadness or aggression, or puzzled or whatever their reaction to, is going to feed into how that child then takes it in. So if it's aggressive, that child's going to be like, my parents hate me. Mm-hmm. If it's sad, I just broke my parents. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There's a lot that child's going to take on. So that concept of addressing it, acknowledging it, accepting it, being there, and then grieving in private is literally, you're right, the perfect thing for people to do.
You know, and another thing that if I could send a parent a message, if you suspect that your child may be gay, bisexual, transgender, or a lesbian, and you have your suspicions, don't wait until your child comes out to you. If you feel that you know, you have a gut feeling, start doing your research. Think about how are you going to handle the situation the day that your child sits with you and says, Mom, Dad, I am what I am.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be better prepared. You know, mm-hmm. Start doing. There's so much information available. There's a lot of places that you can go to. We've got, for example, in the city of New Haven, you have the New Haven Pride Center, where you can go to and get plenty of information. You know, to prepare yourself.
Yeah,
for
depending
that.
On
because
where
it's
you
happen.
Depending on where you are in the world, there's a lot of local resources, but some places, even in America, there aren't local resources, but there are plenty of online resources.
Right. Absolutely.
That being said, too, I agree with Tommy completely, but I also think it's important not to put any pressure on the situation.
Absolutely.
I think you need to give your child time to process and allow them to say
to
the words when they're ready.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying.
Not
wait
try
until
to bring
they
it
come
out
to
them.
You, but do the prep work.
Right. I mean, exactly.
I mean, my parents knew, honey. I was in a tube top and booty shorts at 4. Like, hello.
All right. Well, listen, great conversation. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we've got Meg G from the UBU podcast with Meg and Liv. And here's some music. We'll be right back.
Ultraviolet, infrared, you're the light I see ahead.
All right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. From the break, that was Shine by Arshad, one of our previous guests here on the show. Arshad is actually based out of L.A., and he was actually part of the Women's March. But anyway, that's a story for another time. I want to welcome everyone back from the break. And with us now, all the way from the great state of New Jersey, is Meg G, the host of the UBU podcast with Meg and Liv. Welcome, and thank you for joining us.
Hi, how are you?
We are doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm good. Liv was upset that she's not here. She says she loves you guys.
Well, I'm sad we don't get to meet tonight.
I know.
I've listened to her and I'm like,
who
is this lady?
She's definitely a trip. And you know, we're definitely enjoying.
She has like an army. She's growing an army.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and we're definitely enjoying your podcast, and so we wanted to bring you on the show to talk about your show and talk about all the wonderful things that I think your show is going to do for moms everywhere. And so tell us, what drove you to start your show?
Peer pressure, maybe?
Let me guess. Nick G?
No, he didn't say anything. I went out with Liv one night. It was totally something I would never go to. It was a mom's club event from our town. And she's like, I think you should come. I'm a little nervous. I won't know anybody. And she totally bamboozled me. Mind you, she organized the whole event and knew everyone. And I was like, okay, well, it's at a winery, so I'll go.
All right. Okay. Yeah, I'll go too.
Whenever there's wine, you have to.
Absolutely. So she was like, hey, I think maybe we should do a podcast. We're really good. Like when we were on with Nick, we were better than him. And I'm
like, don't tell. We won't tell him you said that.
We won't tell him, but I'm like, no shit, I'm better than him. So I was like, sure, let's do it. So I came home and I think, you know, I wait, like let silence settle. And I'm like, hey, Nick. And he's like, what? I'm like, I think Liv and I are going to start podcasting. And he was like, oh my God, like a kid on Christmas morning.
Well, it's a beautiful thing though, when you know, because your husband's been doing the Dependent Independent podcast for a while. And whenever you have someone, you know, when your spouse connects with you in that way that you both can share in something that you both actually love, it's an amazing thing. So the fact that you even
we're very opposite though.
But that's okay. That makes for a very
like,
great
didn't
dynamic.
You promote it? I know, but I'm like, you know, I just do it for fun.
I mean, if you listen to us, we go at each other's throats nonstop. Oh, that's good radio,
especially this one.
I am my own person. It's fine. I live my life.
Two people.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because when I did the show when I did the Dependent Independent podcast with Nick, Meg was on the show, and let's be honest, I love Nick to death, but you kind of ran that show.
I'm the reason he is who he is.
Own it.
So I was listening to a couple of... I want to talk about the story that we were talking about earlier, but before we get into that, I was listening to your latest episode, and there was this... I couldn't stop laughing because you were talking about just throwing things outside with throw up and like random stuff. You're like, I can't deal with it now. And you just throw it outside.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about that situation?
That was when mom is like out of the picture, mm-hmm. like sick or away, how shit just doesn't get done. So I think I remember I recalled a story where my son had the stomach virus and he wasn't even a year. Just nonstop puking. My dad had just had open heart surgery, so my mom was no help to me. Nick was doing massive layoffs, so he was like just coming into sleep and leaving, just trying not to get sick. And I literally stayed home for 5 straight days and dealt with this. I even had to take my son to the hospital to be rehydrated. But I was like, all right, we're turning a corner. He's been holding stuff down, so I put him in the extra saucer. And I turned around to clean something, and he just threw up all over it. And I went, fuck. And I took him out, and I was like, I like put him on the floor, the poor baby. And I just took the extra saucer, threw it out the back. And I was like, never again. I will not clean that. One more thing. I mean, I was cleaning sheets, and I just resorted to putting sheets everywhere so he wouldn't throw up on like the carpets and the furniture.
Have you ever seen that show, Dirty Jobs?
Yes. That's I feel what like, I felt like.
I feel like Buffalo being a mom is like a dirty job.
It is. It has its dirty job.
Well, I mean, when you think about it, when a child gets sick and you've got puke all over the place and diarrhea and cleaning toilets and changing diapers and all that stuff, I mean, it's pretty gross.
You know,
yeah.
Go ahead. No, what were you going to say?
No, Nate came in today. So he's like, you know, a grown kid. I was like, what's up? He goes, I think I squirted in my pants. I'll be right back. I'm like, all right. And then he comes back down. I'm like, well, what'd you do with them? And he's like,
I put them in the trash.
And I was like, well, now the trash is going to smell like shit. So do you think you should bring them down and put them out?
Oh my God, your child is going to be mortified if he ever hears this.
Well, at least you put it in the trash and not the hamper.
That's true.
I mean, it's a step in the right direction.
Yep.
All right. I go, do you think maybe you should clean them? He goes, they're old, Mom. It's okay.
It's a, you know, that story reminded me of this one time when I was a child. I was sick for like, I don't know, it must have been the flu or something, but it was like days on end. And I remember the last day that I was sick, I was throwing up constantly. Like it was horrible, but I knew I had to throw up, and I ran to the bathroom, and I started to throw up, and then I pooped myself.
It was last week.
While I was throwing up. No. And I remember leaning over the toilet and screaming for my mom while there's like vomit coming out of my mouth. And she comes downstairs and I was like, Mom, I tried to throw up, but it came out the wrong end. And she had to like strip me down and put me in the shower. And it's like, I can never imagine doing that for somebody, and yet my mother was like dealing with all of my like, ugh.
And I can imagine that you
strong person.
You were just as extra then as you are now.
Oh, obviously.
You know what that reminds me of? You remember that competition that we did for the Squatty Potty, in where the listener sent in that story
from Vegas,
from his friends,
yeah,
in where she was throwing up. And she didn't realize that while she was throwing up,
like
she
her entire family, right?
Yeah, they're all sick.
So she sends someone to clean up the mess, and then she goes in there cleaning up the other person's mess because they were all sick and throwing up. And when she went to throw up, she didn't realize that she sprayed the shower curtain from behind.
How do you not feel that? I mean, to have the force to project it, it didn't like just drop. Like, it went. You know?
Sometimes you just don't know what's coming out of you.
So needless to say, our listeners actually sent us a picture because, you know, obviously they took a picture of it.
We'll send it to you later.
Which is why they ended up winning that Squatty Potty contest, and we actually had Squatty Potty send them one all the way.
We have a Squatty Potty in our house.
Good.
It's a beautiful
thing. The best thing.
I am proud of you guys.
All right, so Nick, you had some questions that you wanted to ask her regarding something that we were talking about earlier.
I want to talk about your podcast, obviously, but before we went on break, Chris brought us into break with this great story of this mother, and you were listening on the live stream, and I just kind of wanted to get your feedback on that. Obviously, we talked about it on the show, the mom called
Sips, the gay bar in Mississippi.
Exactly. To get a perspective on how to react to their child coming out. I wanted to know, as a mother, how that hit you and like how you would react to something like that.
Well, we've already had this conversation on Nick's podcast, but I don't care. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't faze me. I want my kids to be happy, and I want them to not live in a state of shame or fear or whatever it might be, or even just secrecy or like denial, even that. But it's ironic because we've had a lot of discussions in our house lately about sex, about menstruation, and about my son keeps bringing this stuff up. And he asked the other day, and here comes Nick J. He asked the other day, what did he say to us? Mom, would you be mad? He gave us two. Would you be mad if I was gay? And I was like, no. And then what was the other question he asked? It was would you be mad if I, and it was really like something you would be mad at. And I was like, yeah, that would make me mad. but you know, I think the two of us are pretty realistic, mm-hmm. I guess, you know.
That being said, like, if you, as a mother, I've already told a couple mothers at where I work and other places to listen to your podcast because I think it's great, and I think it's great for mothers in general. And if a listener emailed you about that topic, how would you address that on your show?
Oh, well, that's a good, really good question. Maybe Liv and I should broach this subject. I think we would. I think that if you look at, you have to look at your child as a person, not as what you project them to be. And I think a lot of parents, you know, oh, my son's going to be this, or my daughter's going to be this, and you know, there's these. You put limitations, and Nick and I, we talked about this, like a box of what your box that your kind of family or your life kind of puts you in. And I'm probably not doing this justice, but what you think you're supposed to do based on how you were raised.
Yeah, you are.
But I don't want them to feel like they've been limited and not, and I think in a way, sometimes I was a little limited, you know, like, all right, well, I come from a, you know, my dad was a plumber. My mom worked in education, and this looked like a nice life. So this is something I would like to do. And I don't know that it necessarily tapped into my full potential. So I think, and with Nick being with him, where he kind of came from like very little direction and kind of found his way, it provides a different perspective to our family. So we always encourage them to do and be whatever they are and are supposed to be. So I think that's how we would address it. And maybe help parents think like, don't put your kids in a box, or don't, you know, make them be something that you maybe wanted to be, or that you think is only what they can be. Don't limit them from being something.
Their life is theirs.
Right. Exactly. No, so don't pressure them to model on your own life or what you've been through. I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a disservice to limit your kids to them.
I mean, model, yes, but take what's good.
Yes, right.
Yeah. Like, take what's good, but do apply what's necessary.
I mean, are we kidding? We all end up being our parents anyway.
Absolutely.
As the years go by, I keep turning into my mother.
I was, yes, we know.
Seriously, I was outside of the bar, and this one of our patrons came out with no jacket. I'm like, where's your jacket? You're going to get a cold. You're going to get a head cold. You have no scarf. 10 years ago, I would have been like, I'm hot. I don't care. So what if I get sick? It's completely different. It's like, as we get older, it's like you start really assimilating a lot of what your parents did. So
if it was good and wholesome, that's great, but it shouldn't be limiting.
Right.
You know.
How old were you 10 years ago?
Oh, God.
Quit. Give it up.
I tried. So we talked about a couple of things that, you know, have to do with what, you know, our show and where we were coming from. But I want to hear from you about the UBU podcast. What is it about to you? What is its purpose? What do you want to put out? Why are you putting this out there?
Wow.
Sell yourself.
so good at
I'm
that.
Very modest. I don't know. I think it's being a parent is, and being a mom and being a wife is, it's not perfect. It's messy, and just like any aspect of life. And I think there's a lot of people that do a fine job at masking the imperfections of being a mom or being a wife. So I think Liv and I bring a realistic approach to what it really is like, and kind of like calling the bluff on some things, and maybe even supporting other areas of being a mom. And I don't know, it's so, and even when we brainstorm, we just go, what the hell happened this week? And how can we apply that to our podcast? Because there is forever material, like dated every day.
Absolutely.
And I'm a teacher on top of it. So, I mean, I'm parenting other people's kids all the time.
Right.
So it is definitely language arts, reading and writing.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, so I mean, what do I hope to get out of it? I don't know. It's just some fun. It's really for fun.
Well, I can tell you from experience, for us, it started off as a fun thing to do, and it just transformed into this amazing platform for our community. And I can tell you that you're on episode 6 now. And as you keep going and people keep listening and the word keeps getting around and your show starts growing, you are going to get messages from mothers. It both may be positive and negative, but you're going to get a lot of amazing messages of people who you might impact in a positive way because of what you're doing. So I want to tell you to, you know, hold strong, keep doing it, stick with it. Sometimes it gets a little crazy. We do all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes we're like, oh, my God, do we want to do this today? But you know what? We stick with it. And our listeners have stuck with us.
Well, Lord. Some of them. Some of them have left us because of things that I've
Mariah
said.
Carey.
Yeah, don't talk about Mariah Carey.
Don't talk about Mariah. But even the simplest things where it might be something so small to you and Liv could be so impactful to a mother somewhere in the country or across the world.
Well, I think what's great about it, too, it's not just about mothers, because we're obviously an LGBTQ podcast, and we adopt children. So two dads can take from your experience and learn so much, or two mothers can take from your experiences and learn so much, because they're not going to be the same experiences, but they are going to go through similar situations.
Right. And
I think
the real thing too.
Your podcast has the potential to be so much broader than just moms.
Mm. Right. I mean, maybe it could be parenting. We could, being a parent.
And it can be future parents. I might be a future father someday. Trisha will be a future mother someday. Yeah. So, you can learn this stuff ahead of time.
I'm already pregnant. It's fine.
I hope not. I will tell you that, you're thinking right now it's something fun. It's going to turn into something that's going to be very satisfying and gratifying for you because of what you're doing. You're speaking from experience, and that's something that, you can't buy. No school, no university will ever give you the credentials and the expertise that you yourself have accumulated with your own children. And in some way, shape, or form, someone's going to find value in that. And I think that you'll do well. What I've heard, I really love the show. I love the energy between you and Liv, and it also helps that you have someone behind you, because it's my understanding that Nick produces your podcast as well, right?
Yeah, he does everything. I know. He even posts on my Facebook page.
I can't get her to post anything, man. Get her to share anything.
Do it.
Wasn't it last week that you had Meg and Liv on the show, Nick?
We did, right?
Oh, yeah, the 10 minutes.
I called an audible. We did a podcast on mom stereotypes.
That was, I know. And you debunked all of the stereotypes.
Well, yeah, it was a weird article because it quoted a stereotype, but the woman was debunking at the same time. So it saw both avenues. And then Meg and Liv, we agreed with some, we disagreed with others. It was fun.
It was fun.
There's so many articles out there, but this one was cool because it wasn't just saying, well, this is what it means to be a mom. A woman said, this is what it means to be a mom, and I don't believe it because I don't agree with any of this. So
right.
Add a different angle to that. And that's the first time we walked through an article.
Yeah, we did.
Because I'm breaking new ground on my show. Taking articles.
So
quoting.
So what are your expectations for the show? Aside from it being something fun right now, what do you think?
I think that you would get a different answer from Liv than you get from me. I have zero expectations.
Okay.
Actually have none. Absolutely.
Wow. See, I'm disappointing him.
It's not thing. If I had to twist your arm to do it every...
No, I enjoy doing it.
That's a beautiful thing. So
in doing something, what do you want to get out of it? Is that right, Tom?
What do you want to give? Too, not only just get, because I feel like podcasting, we don't get so much. I mean, we get some appreciation, but what we're giving, I think, is the most important thing, right? We're giving our voice and our thoughts to a topic.
I always try to tell Meg, she's going to make an impact into people's lives more than she thinks she is. And she hasn't seen it yet. To your point, Tom, you're right.
Yeah,
I've been podcasting for three years. Done live shows, everything, right? Created social media pages. And if you asked me to go back to episode six,
I was like,
the sound is okay in my living room. I hope it sounds okay. People listening.
And you could also tell she enjoys doing it, because in the last episode they were drinking tea and not wine. So you didn't need that extra motivation.
I don't know. I mean, I actually said to him, I said, I think maybe I should start blogging along with whatever we talk about. So I maybe a little bit more creative aspect to my life. It's being a mom and being a teacher can be mundane.
And blogging requires posting.
Right, you're right. Yeah. Okay.
And Nick is not going to do it for you.
I'll show you where to put it.
But
I'll set up your website.
I think we have a very nice community here where we live. So Liv and I have a pretty deep connection with a lot of moms in this area. So I think that a lot of them follow, and there's a mom's group that I don't really belong to, but she does. And but it's I don't know. Just talk about it.
What do you... So
you're great here, Meg. So, what? I don't know, whatever. Maybe.
Something,
yes.
So, two things. You said being a mom and being a teacher is mundane. If you listen to our podcast, it's anything but mundane from what you hear on the show.
I don't want you to think that I don't like what I do, because I love what I do. But it's a feat every day. Like, who's going to walk in the door? You know, I'm dealing
with
that.
Be pooping their pants.
I have middle schoolers, so it's
they can pants. Still poop in their pants.
They poop in the urinals in middle school. We've all been there.
So let me ask you a question. When you sit down with Liv and you guys are thinking about what you're going to do for your next show, can you walk us through your thought process? How do you prepare for a week of material?
Hey, what should we talk about right now when we go downstairs? Like text messages. Okay. We don't really talk to each other much during the...
We do some, like I'll shoot some messages to both of them to get them thinking about an idea, and then they have a couple of them.
We're friends, but we're not like like, you know what I mean? We don't spend
every waking minute.
Like we kind of get each other through like a mutual friend and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah.
That's going to change.
Yeah, no, it's fine. And,
I'm saying that's going to change. These two crazy ones have become like my brother and my sister.
Well, she's lucky I wake up early for school now, because those 7:30 in the morning text messages from Tom were getting me up to here.
I start texting at 6 a.m.
Listen, 7:30, I'm already in my classroom. So
I know, I hear you. I want to be a teacher someday, so I feel it.
No, I think Megan has a better, Tom, a more comprehensive creative process than just that. She wants to make sure she does her intros.
I do. I have that. I have a consistent intro. I keep it, like, I watch the clock, so I know that.
Oh, they're so good. She is so good. 36 minutes.
I don't want to bore anybody. I don't want to take anybody's time. That's not necessary. And then we have that finding the good. So we try to find that moment, like the rainbow amongst the rainy day moment.
That's such a great little segment at the end of the show, because no matter how crappy your week can be, and no matter what crap you've gone through, there is always something within that you can take away. And it's important that we acknowledge that.
Right.
So I think that's a really powerful segment that you have going for your show. Should we
do it?
Let's do the segment. Can you lead us into the segment?
Oh, right now?
Yeah, let's do it.
We have to get the pretty voice that comes
in. I got my friend did the voiceover for it. Because I know people.
Are you really like putting me on the spot?
Now it's time to
find the good. I don't know. We talk about what's good. So, I mean, the week, what's been going on, and what's that moment that was a highlight? It could go with what we were talking about. Most of the time it does. So we talked about volunteerism and we found the good that way. And I think this week was kind of hodgepodge, and I was a little taken. I had a very busy, chaotic week, so it was hard for me to find the good, but I eventually found something. But yeah, so let's tell me about what was the good of the week, gentlemen.
Chris, do you want to start?
Yeah, I went to class today, and after class, I had a tuna sandwich, and it was just fine. It was great. Like, my stress from history and public speaking.
The tuna sandwich was your good?
With mustard. With mustard.
Oh,
it's actually the best thing ever.
I love it too, actually. That's weird. I love tuna with mustard. That's super weird.
It's the best thing ever.
Anyway, I never knew that about Chris. He likes tuna with mustard. And now you know.
I love tuna with mustard. But it has to be brown mustard, though.
Yeah.
For me.
Okay, no, I'm a yellow
guy. I'll do yellow mustard, though. So it's a good thing. We agree. Well, we agree. Rye toast. Tuna, mustard.
Well, rye toast, you have it there.
Actually, how I prepare mine is a little bit of brown mustard with some cream cheese and tuna, and then I put that over rye toast or a toasted, it could be whether wheat or white bread.
Cream cheese and tuna?
Yeah.
Where did you guys even, hey, want you guys to hear a true story? My father, when I moved in with him when I was a kid, and he started sending us to school, he would make us peanut butter sandwiches, and my sister and I would take a bite out of these things in Catholic school, and we were like, why does it? Just doesn't taste right. Like, what kind of peanut butter is my dad using? And we started observing, and we saw what my father was doing was putting peanut butter on one and mayonnaise on the other side. And, but here's how my dad was. We asked him, "Dad, what are you doing?" And he said, "Well, I put mayonnaise on it so the peanut butter doesn't stick to the top of your mouth." And we were like, "Well, Dad, that's gross." And then that was the last time my father ever made lunch for us. He basically just pulled the report and went, "You're not going to eat my mayonnaise and peanut butter sandwiches. I'm out."
Make your own damn lunch.
It's such a chunk of my life. It was a chunk, but a small portion at the same time. No, I still can't beat mustard and tuna. That's nasty. Dad, no way. Ugh.
I'll try it.
It's good.
All right, we'll try it.
I'll try anything.
Yeah.
What about you, Tom?
I'm in school right now, and I just got done with my second week of this current class, and my grade so far, my average grade is still 100. I'm excited about that.
That's because when you don't get 100, Tommy, you fight until you get 100.
I do.
We clap for it. Thank you, Meg. We clap for Tommy.
I literally, like, argue with all my professors.
And I never do.
I have to, because, you know, it's like they come at me with some stuff. Like, I had a paper and she gave me a 98 on a paper, and I'm talking about another class. And she was troubled, or maybe what put her off was a sentence in my paper, and she said it was a runoff sentence and it could have been written differently.
You're talking to a language arts teacher here.
I know.
Just saying.
So I went back through all of our posts. And I took screenshots of every single word that he misspelled. And literally, it was like a good list of...
Shame on you, man.
It was a good list of like 37 on the entire post in different posts.
So you threw it back at him?
Yeah.
Because. And so I sent it back to him and I said, "You are not qualified to grade my papers." And then I sent it back to the director of the school, of the university, and I said, "I'm having an issue where you have a teacher that's trying to tell me that my paper, one of my sentences is a runoff sentence, yet this person can't even spell on our post."
Wow.
I have trouble with that, and I want my points.
That's kind of dark, man.
And I got him back.
2 points. 2 points.
I got him back.
He did that for 2 points.
For 2 points.
I would have
been like a 98.
I would have taken the 98. I would have been like 98.
Could I also
I've never seen that number.
Isn't it also a run-on sentence, not a run-off sentence?
Whether run-on, run-off.
Just saying.
He's bilingual. He's bilingual. He's bilingual.
See, listen, we get nasty.
I am bilingual, and you know, the expectations that I put on myself are very high. And right now I'm holding on to a GPA of 3.96. And I don't want it to go down any lower than that. I want to be able to make the dean's list, and I want to be able to make my parents proud, because I would be the first person to graduate from college should I do that. So,
Now I feel bad
in my entire family.
You will. Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, it's going to take a long time because I'm only doing one class at a time.
Because
I have like 500 jobs. It's like I have 500 jobs, two dogs, two friends. That
only
take
two.
A
just
lot
the two.
Of
just the two.
Time. So yeah, that's the positive in my week. Nick,
Trish. I had a crazy week that I can't really talk about that much on the show.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of, yeah. But there wasn't a lot of positive this week for me. However, I did go away this weekend. Mm-hmm. I went away because I needed to get away and clear my head. And I got to see my best friends up in Massachusetts. And that relationship is something that I value and love so much. And I came back from that feeling so much better and feeling revived. And so I guess my good this week is maintaining relationships that really, that I cherish and that uplift you, I guess. Because it was a rough fucking week.
Yes, it was.
Well, now I feel simple talking about a goddamn tuna sandwich with mustard.
Well, Chris, you've always been simple.
Yeah. So you have Nick G in the background there with you. Your producer. So what was your good takeaway for the week?
I see Megan, after doing over 100 some odd episodes, you go through these highs and lows, and I'm a creative at heart, so you always want to get it right. And I was kind of hitting a rut where you guys are seeing us in the studio down here. But sometimes when you do thing over and over again, you need somebody, like you said, a total stranger. I think it was Nick who said that, or someone that sometimes a total stranger can give you feedback that helps. I don't know if that was Chris. So I went to a skating party with my son. Ice skating party.
Wow.
So we were there, and I connected with a gentleman who is a videographer in my town. His name's Dominic. And I love talking shop with them. You know, you go to a kid's birthday party, and I think we're going to do a podcast on that.
Good idea.
making friends at kids' birthday parties. So I connected with him, and we were both kind of cool going, are you going to go in that party room? No, you want to sit here and talk about videography for 3 hours? So basically that's what we did. And just by asking a couple things about what I could do differently, he made some recommendations about my studio. And it's funny, all I did while everyone was watching the game, the Vikings and Eagles game last night, I'm sitting down here messing around my camera and the lights and pushing my, because I, you know, I'm smart enough to know that all someone has to do is give me the opportunity to go past my limitations, and I just do it. So I pushed the table out, shot a little video, threw it on Facebook, and man, it was just that small video, that minute 40-second video. I was flying on cloud nine because I was stuck. I was stuck behind this cramped.
Was that the one with you in the beanie?
Yeah, yes.
That was a great video.
Like, it's not cold, but I'm wearing this anyway.
That was so funny. I didn't know what to say. And then I put the edits in and the bloopers, which was fun. As a creative, you want to know you still got it. So, you know, just doing that, I had a lot of fun doing it. But it was weird. I didn't go to sleep till so late last night. I was just so excited. It was getting buzz on Facebook. And I went and created a group for all my co-hosts. So anyone who's co-hosted my show now is part of a community where they can start sharing things, because I want to start tapping into my co-hosts. And because they've gone through this already with me, that this 200 podcast journey
I don't think I was added to that group.
I didn't add you.
You don't know. It just bores you. The whole podcast marketing stuff, so boring. Blech. You know, why would you want to be even bothered by that? That's exactly how I thought.
Well, she wants to be a part of the group. She wants you to add her.
I was going
to
say,
she's going to go add her behalf. She's going to take his phone and add herself.
I'll get you in the group.
I don't even know how to use it.
So I guess my good would be that just for a little push from another creative guy who believes in what I do, and he was real honest too. He gave me some feedback I didn't want to hear, but he allowed me to do that. Now my juices are flowing again. I'm excited to do another video in the studio. Excited for my group, and I started the week going into Monday on cloud nine. So that's my tweaking your environment just a little bit really changes the way you look at things.
And that can be the beauty of talking to a stranger for some advice, because they don't know what you don't want to hear. So they're just solely for the conversation going to say what they think, and they're not going to hold back, and they're not going to hide any honesty, because they don't know what's going to, like I said, be something you don't want to hear.
Mm-hmm. That was awesome. And I'm thinking of doing this podcast production now that I produce two podcasts. And I have a bit of a resume to start offering that services out to small businesses in town and kind of put a little side hustle together. So with my business background, my decades in corporate America, I think now's the time to struggle down our tot. So that's what I want to do.
That's awesome.
Excellent. I feel good. I feel in control. I feel excited. Tap into that 20.
No, you're going over the limit.
21 something. No, I'm going to keep going.
I know. I was like, is the band going to start playing?
Seriously? All right. Whatever. You know,
you're missing one thing in your studio. I want to see a nice little sign of, you know, the UBU podcast with Megan Liv back there somewhere.
Well, we don't do any video here. They don't want to be on camera.
No, but you could put our logo up.
Yeah, it's advertisement for them.
I'll think about it. I got a brand going here. But that's like, would they put my podcast on their thing?
Yeah, they would.
They wouldn't.
Yeah, sure, why not?
We should talk. We'll put it on the big screen.
That shit moves.
Yeah.
Well, I think, Tom, I know your studio looks great, man. You should still put this on. Are you doing this on YouTube yet?
Not yet.
Come on, look at this thing. This is great. It's nuts.
This is why we're doing all this first. We're going to do all the decorating, the painting. We just got a new rug in the studio and stuff. And, you know, between school and work, we're trying to get things done. And then we're going to move slowly onto YouTube.
And I got
to
work on not biting my nails. I got to lose some weight. Because they're going to see it.
And we are coming up there, by the way. We are going to we'll talk about it. We're not going to tell you when. Okay. We are going to take a trip.
When mom and dad come back from Florida and Kawashi.
You'll see two people, Nick, at the end of the bar. I'll know exactly
who you are. Hello.
Yeah, you are.
Cover your ears when you approach the bar. She's going to be loud.
Hey, thank you for letting me share. I'm gracious.
Anytime. You know, that's what we're all about.
Can I find the good?
Yes, please, Nick. Find the good.
I'm going to find the good in my friends, because Friday had a very small, minor surgery procedure. But so I'm home all week recovering, blah blah blah. It's very boring. Read a book today, which is nice. But my friends took it upon themselves, and every night they have been delivering dinner.
Oh,
and Nick and I aren't like those type of people. I'm like, we got it, we'll figure it out, you know. I'll whip something up real quick. And, but they just text, I'm coming over at so-and-so with dinner. And so all week they each took in. It's hard. Sometimes I'm not very, I have a hard time.
You do? You have a weakness?
No.
No, I don't.
Finish that thought. Like, I wanted everybody to hear it.
Like being, like, I don't know, expecting
vulnerable,
other people.
Vulnerable, letting people help you.
Yeah, like letting people help me. Yeah, mm-hmm. Thank you. Good words. yeah, so it's, he was even like, why is
no,
so
yeah,
texting
we,
me and telling me they're
but we do
dinner,
what Megan does is
like,
Megan we that's
surgery.
Like that's like a thing we do all the time. Megan we spend 2 or 3 hours cooking and say, what are you doing? Well, I'm taking dinner over to so-and-such's house or dinner over to so-and-such's house. The idea of anybody, we never even thought about people doing that for us, but that was weird. They're like, I have dinner on Saturday, I have dinner on Sunday. It's like, wow, you guys don't have to do that at all. We're okay. I was ready to cook ish stuff.
Well, that's a beautiful thing, you know. Yeah. And it's always amazing to have friends like that. Like, I know that if I were to ever to be sick, I can count on Trish, you know, because she's helpful, and Christopher over here for moral support, because he wouldn't drive from East Haven over here to bring me soup.
What bullshit?
No, he wouldn't. He's like,
it's because I can't fit it in my car.
That's true. Has no trunk space. He's got one other seat, and his jacket goes there.
Oh, wow. So, no room
for
soup, huh?
No room for soup.
So I know, I don't know if you guys have anything to do, and I don't want to keep you guys, but can you tell our listeners how they can find your podcast, where they can go, like, for example, on Facebook, to follow you, on Instagram, anything that you want to tell us so that our listeners can check you out?
Maybe we should defer to the producer.
No, I know you can find us on Facebook and Instagram. And then
you
if
can
you
find
have
them on-
a podcasting app on your phone, you could look up the UBU podcast and download it.
Make sure you do the UBU podcast with Megan Liv.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Okay, we have a Facebook page, community page. We also have an Instagram page. And those are pretty much where we're predominantly are. And obviously you can get it on iTunes or any podcast app you have. Anywhere you can find Gay Talk 2.0 or The Dependent Independent Show, anywhere.
Awesome.
And do you, is this biweekly? Is it weekly? Like, or is it?
We're trying to do two a month.
Okay.
Every other week. Post on Thursdays. Liv
recently got a new job, which is taking her away from her family a little bit more. So we are, after the holidays and everything, we're trying to cram a couple in before she goes away on business. But yeah, I mean, that's ultimately our goal. That's mm-hmm. sort of where we were going, is two a month.
That's awesome. Amazing. So it'll be a bi-weekly podcast, or at least expecting at least two episodes a month.
Yes.
So that you know what these amazing, beautiful, amazing people are talking about when it comes to motherhood. It is always amazing to hear the stories and the horror of what really happens, because, you know, when you really think about it, it's not all peaches and cream. Nope. Like you said, some of these mothers out there go and say, oh, you know, they do a really good job at hiding all the not, I wouldn't say negative aspects, but the tougher aspects of being a parent. Mm-hmm. Because I think that even when you have a child that's sick, or when you have a child that is going through phases, that those are all learning experiences. So they may end up in some way, shape, or form being positive for the parent as well.
Yeah,
absolutely.
The Aquanet era is over. All those secrets have to fall out of the hair now and open it up so that people can actually understand that you're not alone. And I think that's what's great about having her on the podcast, is that everybody that's our listeners that have children, listen to her show, because you're not alone. And the situations that you may find yourself in, I'm sure she has too, and Liv as well. And it's okay.
And even further with that, I was able to connect to the show not being a parent, but it can really open the perspective as a child mm-hmm. to what a parent or a mother has to go through. So I definitely recommend the show for parents or not.
Yeah, I take a lot from it, because I really just, I don't do kids. But for whatever reason, kids love me. And so, you know, I have to sort of kind of learn how to deal. You know, I've got nieces and nephews, which I've had to change diapers and
buy refrigerators for college.
Yes. All that good stuff. You know, they're growing up, and they grow up so quick. It's like you blink and, oh my God, it's like he's in college. I remember when he was a little child with a big head running around crying all the time. And now he's like in college. You know, what do you do? So it's an amazing thing. So, Meg, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Time out of your day and your evening with your husband and your family to talk with us here on the show.
Yeah, don't worry about me. Yeah. Whatever.
He's always down in the basement anyway, right?
Yes.
I gotta go wash dishes.
So, Nick, do you have anything that you would like to share with them both?
No, it was just great to see you guys again. And again, I love both of your shows, obviously.
Thank you.
I can't wait to meet you guys in person.
Oh, we'll be there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll be up there soon. We'll get up there.
We gotta wait for Grandma and Grandpa to come
back.
We'll be
down there. What is it, like 3 hour drive? 3 hour, 4 hour drive?
Four, that's maybe.
Well, if you do come up, we should talk about doing a show or something.
Absolutely. All of us together in a studio? Definitely.
Powerhouse.
It'll be amazing.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you being so cool.
Are you kidding me? We love you guys.
Vice versa.
So anyway, thank you again. And listen, you guys have a wonderful evening. We've got a couple of more things that we're going to wrap up on the show. If you want to listen in on the live stream, do that. And again, we're truly, truly ecstatic that you joined us today. It's a beautiful
thing. Thanks for having me.
And you're more than welcome to come and spend some time with us here in studio or even over Skype anytime. You know, we extend that invitation to anyone that's joined us because I just think that wonderful conversations deserve a space for them to be heard.
And, awesome.
It's a beautiful thing. So thank you guys.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you guys.
See ya.
All right.
Bye.
So that was Meg G and Nick G, of course. Meg G is the one of the hosts for the UBU podcast with Meg and Liv. And again, that podcast is available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and all those good places that you can catch all of the podcasting episodes on.
Yep.
And now we've got some other things that we need to cover on the show before we wrap up, because we don't want to go too long, right?
Yeah, no, I just want to reiterate one more time before we move on from our guests that Nick G and Meg G, they really are wonderful people. And what they are putting out, it's really good. It's good material. It's good content. And people can take so much away from it. And even our listeners, whether you're a mother or not a mother, like Chris said, or a dad or not a dad, I mean, these situations are so, you know, it's human nature. It's basic. It's what we go through. And putting it out there normalizes it.
Mm, of course.
You don't, you know, whatever situation that you don't want to talk about, they'll talk about it.
Right.
You know, they'll bring it up, and you don't have to feel bad that this is happening or you're not doing the right thing, or find the humor and the beauty in the situation.
It's
after
a learning
the
experience.
Fact.
Right. Yeah. You know what? One of the things that I took away, that I take away from their show and even listening through the last episode, is these are conversations that I haven't yet to have with my mother. Hey, Mom, how was I as a child? What did you do?
Oh,
tell
I know.
Me stories. So I have not had that opportunity to have that interaction with Mom. So listening to them talk about their day and how, and I'm like, oh my God, did I do that to my mom? That must have been horrible. I can't imagine my mother wiping my ass, and you know,
she did
when I was sick, and I remember whooping my ass, but I don't know about wiping, but you know, things happen. But you know, it's great to hear these things, because you know, at some point in time, I'm gonna be able to sit with my mom. Yeah, you know, I know about that.
And the reason I talked to my mom about it already.
Yeah.
And there was something from their most recent episode. I don't want to give too much away because I really encourage our listeners to check it out. But there was something that really hit home to me, and it was the fear of resentment from your child.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something after I hear them talking about it, you know, I remember my mother and I have an amazing relationship now. But I remember going through high school, I was being a little rebel, I was being a little son of a bitch, and we were fighting. And I at that point resented my mother, and we would fight constantly. I remember saying nasty things that I know I didn't mean. She now knows that neither of us meant when we had those exchanges. But now thinking about it after they were saying it, I couldn't even imagine the thought of my own child resenting me. You know, it's not like a 4-year-old you throw in your room and send them to their room with no dessert, like, I hate you. But when you're really going through those hormonal changes and going through high school where you're really trying to figure yourself out and you get into such feuds with your family or your parents, like, I could never grasp the idea of my own child resenting me.
Yeah.
So that one really made me think a lot today.
Well, it's funny, too, because there's part, we do need to move on, but there's part of it, the feuds and that angst and that resentment, it comes from the fact that there's this unconditional love that you know lives with them and you, and you can take all that hormonal angsty anger out on them, because you know at the end of the day they're still going to pick you up.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll happen in all relationships. So
even though it's not really fair to have that,
definitely not. But I feel like most people are going to go through that. I mean, I I put everything on my parents. And it wasn't until I was probably 25 that I could step back and realize where they were and where their mind was, and why during the process of me coming out, let's just use that as an example, why they were so angry or upset. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And how I then forgave them as they did me. You know what I mean? Like, I also had to forgive them instead of just like being that stern, like, no, you were wrong. Mm-hmm. No, I had to say sorry for the way I acted and the things that I put on them. Right. 'Cause that's just,
you know, to give and take. A lot of people need to understand that with an interaction, it takes two sides to interact and two sides to get a specific type of reaction from either party. So, you know, you're right. If you were doing something on your end that was upsetting them because they were doing something on their end that was upsetting you, at some point, someone's got to give. Something's mm-hmm. got to give. And I think that a mutual exchange, hint, hint to our government today, mm-hmm. Would be beneficial in any relationship.
Yep.
So, all right. So let's move on because we've got two stories. Time's rolling. And I really want to get to these two stories because I think they're very important. So why don't we hit Chris first? Why don't you tell us a little bit about what's going on in the state of Washington?
Yeah, we got some good news. The Washington Senate on Friday approved a bill that seeks to ban therapies that attempt to alter the sexual orientation or gender identity of lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender youth. Such therapies can go by names of conversion therapy, reparative therapy, or ex-gay therapy. The senators approved Senate Bill 5722 on a 32-16 vote. It heads to the House. It will now head to the House for votes, and the Democrats have a narrow two-seat majority in the House.
It'll pass.
It's very much expected to pass. And the bill states that the legislature finds and declares that Washington has a compelling interest in protecting the physical and psychological well-being of minors, including lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender youth, and in protecting its minors against exposure to serious harms caused by these conversion therapies. Under provisions of the bill, therapists who violate this law may face fines and the possible revocation or suspension of their license.
Good.
Very good. And it's positive to see how the nation's kind of starting to move forward. Mm-hmm. Once this passes,
this is Washington State, not
Washington
D.C.
State, of course. Correct. Washington State. They would be joining Connecticut, California, Nevada, New Jersey, Oregon, Illinois, Vermont, New York, Rhode Island, and New Mexico as states that have enacted legislation which outlaws the horrific malpractice known as conversion therapy.
So that's 11 states, and we do know how things like this play out. Right. So eventually someone's going to sue. This is going to go up to the Supreme Court, much yep. like the legalization of gay marriage happened. Yep. It's going to take a clump of states for them to come to start passing this type of legislation before the Supreme Court at some point makes a decision and says this is going to be the law of the land straight through
right.
from coast to coast. This is an amazing, step in the right direction. I think that, you know, as states keep adding, as you said, it'll be important.
But I think it will also be important to eventually get to the Supreme Court because, like we mentioned, Connecticut, Rhode Island, and Vermont, those are three states in New England that have outlawed these, like I like to call them, malpractices. But
Massachusetts isn't...
Massachusetts not on the list for outlawing it. So it okay. still may not be generally practiced there, but it's not in you know, their legislation that it's against the law. But New Hampshire, their House narrowly killed such a bill like this. So even though these certain states in the small community we have is New England, mm-hmm. New Hampshire being one of the ones that had this bill proposed, but they knocked it down. So there's still a lot of work to do. I think we'll have to have more than a couple more states get on board before something like this gets heard from the Supreme Court.
Well, one of the things that is also going to need to happen is that some of these states in where it's still legal for this stuff to happen, they're going to have to start suing and going to the lower federal courts.
Mm-hmm. So but who's going to sue? The problem here, the problem is you have minors that are going through this. Mm-hmm. These minors are... Their parents are putting them in these situations.
Right,
who's going right. to sue? Who's going to sue? The state has to sue. Somebody else has to sue.
On
behalf of somebody else.
At some point, that child is going to be 18 years old or old enough to be able
but
to
there's
actually...
a statute of... Isn't there a statute of limitations? After a certain amount of time, you can't sue.
Well, what if they shoved you in there at 16?
And
at 18, you want to sue? I mean, again, the important thing is that some way, somehow, this needs to end up in our nation's highest court.
I completely agree.
But you're absolutely right. That's the tricky part with getting this to the Supreme Court, because the parents sure as hell are not going to sue, because they're the ones who are forcing their children into something like this.
Yep.
Well, and, I mean, it might take an instance, for example, in where the attorney general of any state might sue the parents.
Yeah, and this,
and the state itself.
I think it's important that we acknowledge what this is. They call it conversion therapy. This is torture.
It's absolutely.
You are torturing children. You are destroying them mentally. You are tearing them down bit by bit. In some cases, there have been reports of physical violence and electric shock therapy. And these are your children that are being put into these situations just because they feel a certain way. And let me just say, shock therapy or torture may make somebody fear who they are, but it will not change who they are.
Mm-hmm. So, and with that, not only should the physicians or the people who are part of these churches should be brought to justice and prosecuted, but the parents who put them through this also should be facing the most swift fist of the law.
Because that is beyond abuse. Why isn't the Department of Children Affairs involved in this? Because they should be, because those kids are being abused by their parents and by the facility they are being put into.
And sometimes protected by religious freedoms.
That is correct, which is, you know, riding a very, very crazy little wave right now in certain areas, in certain states. You know, they're trying to push legislation. Our own president is calling for, you know, religious liberty legislation, allowing states to, in essence, you know, guide that moral or non-moral discussion within their own communities. And it's really causing an uproar because, you know, we're trying to say, hey, listen, we're not saying that you can't practice the religion that you want to practice. Believe what you want to believe in. But that has no business in political arenas, because in the end, America needs to be run by, for everyone, for every citizen, whether you're Catholic, Pentecostal, whether you're an atheist, whether you believe or you don't believe, we're still all Americans, and we all have to have a piece of the pie and be able to live with each other.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, we're beating a dead horse right now, but
yes.
I mean, it's like these situations, I mean, I'm sure if there was a study out there that any, you know, LGBTQ teen went to a conversion therapy, what are the rates of suicide, homelessness, drug abuse, alcohol abuse? It's probably through the roof for these kids because they've been so damaged.
You know, when you think about, for example, states like Nevada, Nevada doesn't have a law that protects children from, you know, conversion therapy. Nevada doesn't have laws that allow for anyone to help children of LGBT backgrounds when their parents kick them out. And, you know, it's...
Are we talking about Nevada?
You mean Utah?
Utah, sorry.
Yeah, I was like, I think he means Utah.
Utah, excuse me, Utah. And so, you know, when you think about what this does to the psyche of someone so young, still in their early development of being able to construct what's their social structure will be, what their social interactions and emotional interactions, that's a very, very critical part of someone's life to be screwing it up like that with some stupid shit. You know? All right, so we've got one more story. I think this one is a pick-me-upper.
Yeah, it's not really even a story. There's not much to report on this. It's just super exciting. So
number two.
So we have a second out gay athlete competing in the Olympics, in the Winter Olympics for America this year. Gus Kenworthy, who has competed before and took home the silver medal for... skiing, will be competing again, but this time he will be competing as an openly gay American, which again is amazing. And I can't wait for more follow-up stories, because there's not much that we've heard from him in this article that I read. He posted something on Instagram like, I'm going to the Olympics again, yay, with a photo. But that's really all we've heard. So I'm excited to hear more from him and to see his stance. We know Adam Rippon has said a lot of he's taken a stance of a role model and being there for the community, and I'm hoping that Gus Kenworthy does the same, and I'm assuming he will, so we'll see where that comes.
That name Gus, it sounds so brute. All right,
Trish and I just looking at each other.
Well, he's a very handsome man too. So
he is a handsome man.
Mm-hmm. He can get it.
But I'm proud of him. And don't go to the White House. We give you claps.
All right, so we've got two things that we need to go through, and then we're going to wrap up the show. So let's start with the first one, Gay Talk Term. Who's taking that?
I am.
All right, go for it.
So this week's Gay Talk Term, brought to you by
UnicornBooty.com.
Not really.
Is, to go with the theme of the show, Mother.
Mother.
Mother. Homosexual mentor. One who introduced another to homosexual activity. Synonym, gay mother. Guide, guiding light, his protectiveness, mother hen. We all have a mother.
A mother hen.
We do.
Or a mother, yes.
And sometimes it could be our biological mother, because, you know, there are a lot of open-minded, beautiful, amazing mothers out there. Sometimes it takes them a couple of years to get there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for the most part, I think we've all had a mother.
Yeah. And, you know, this says introduce another to homosexual activity. I this description, I mean, it's from this book that's from years ago, so I'm reading it from the book, but a mother is not just about homosexual activity. It's introducing them to the light, this community we live in, and showing them that it's okay to embrace it.
Right. Yeah,
I mean, yeah, of course, there's activity involved like as well, but.
Like you said, the verbiage in this book comes from, you know, something that was published in the 1970s, which is why we're using it. Some of the stuff is just absolutely freaking hysterical.
Mm. And the drag community holds on to the term mother a lot.
Oh,
you know,
of course.
Drag mother, mm-hmm. When you're first getting into drag, there's someone you really follow in her heels.
Barbara Jones Streetsand got a mother. I feel like she should have been a mother herself, because she's
probably
so
is a mother.
Yeah.
No, she became a daughter. She now has a name attached to Barbara Jones Streetsand. I think it's Soleil or something like that. Mm. But I was like, oh, okay. Well,
that's different. The drag community's
dynamic
is something completely different. I don't understand.
Yeah,
that.
But I mean, it fits within the spectrum of
very
everyone
political.
Needs a mother, mm-hmm. right? All right. So, what is our on this day in gay history, Christopher?
Yes, on this day in gay history, brought to you, of course, by
UnicornBooty.com.
Not really.
They say her name two different ways, so I'm going to go with the second one. On this day in gay history, cabaret singer Clara Waldorf dies on January 22nd, 1957 in Germany. Waldorf lived openly as a lesbian in Germany her entire life. Shortly after her death, her partner, Olga von Rode, said, quote, "Life for me has no content." Trish is texting, so I didn't get called out on that
one. Word.
Again, quote, "Life for me has no content anymore. We were joined by 40 years of our being together just so intimately with each other than ever this gap could be filled in for me. Actually, we just lived one for the other. I would be happy if my ashes already could rest with Clara's ashes in peace. They share their final resting place together in Stuttgart."
Okay. That's not a word.
I know. Keep things nice. I think that's sweet that they're together again.
That's beautiful.
That is beautiful. All right. So, all right. Well, let's wrap it up, boys. If you love the show, you can help us in one of three ways: to let others know about the show, and also to ensure it becomes more visible within our podcasting community. The first one is to subscribe to the show. By doing so, you can get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your favorite device, web browser, or any other device as soon as it's published and available. Number two, you can rate and review the show. This is very important because this helps us greatly. You can do so on the Apple Podcast for Apple products, on Google Play Music for Android. You can also do that on Stitcher Radio, TuneIn, Podbean, or any other podcasting or podcatching application available out there. The third one is you can support us on Patreon, which is a service that allows you, our listeners, to support a pledge donation, which would be donated to the show on a monthly basis. Anything from a dollar would help. So if you could and you're able, definitely do so. And I think that's all I have. Christopher?
Next week is going to be a fun week.
It sure is.
We have a lot going on. It's not very important. It is my birthday next week.
Oh, but that's very important.
But more importantly, next week is our 100th episode here
that
at Gay Talk
2.0.
Very excited.
100!
Yes! And even
excited.
More importantly, we're bringing back one of our... Go ahead.
She's not even clapping.
Oh, no, because she ain't happy about this. She ain't happy about this. Mm-hmm. More importantly, we're bringing back one of our favorite guests, recurring guests, Dave Hartman will
That's
be joining
correct.
Us.
Have you ever heard him speak so much in the closing notes before? No. No, we haven't.
I'm just very excited.
Hush it, girl.
I'm very excited. So Dave Hartman will be that's right. Will be joining us for our 100th episode, The Roast of Trish.
It's coming. I can't wait.
That being said, I want you all to know that the first half of the show will be the dish, and then you can all roast me.
Speak for yourself.
I just really want to hear Dave's roast. Of course, I'm going to get some material together this week, but
I have to warn you, though, if it gets too deep, I may walk away.
I have to warn you.
I'm a sensitive soul, guys.
You know. I have to warn you. I have belts upstairs, and I have super glue. I'm gluing you to that goddamn chair.
We're going
to
put the doggy door in the doorway right here, too, so she's going to struggle to get out of here, at least.
I'm hiring bodyguards.
Fuck you,
you
both.
You do not get
anyway,
her out of this
so
room.
Thank you to our guest, Meg G, from the UBU podcast with Meg and Liv, for joining us on today's show. It was great to have you on the show. I love the show. Check it out. You can listen to Meg and Liv do their thing on iTunes and a bunch of other pod-catching
applications.
Yes. Nailed it.
Yeah. I'm proud of you, Trish. All right. Christopher?
Can we put a rubber on it?
Please wrap it up.
Alrighty, guys. As always, our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Nick announces, but before I do, the registration that I was talking about for the podcast People's Choice Awards. So their website was a little confusing, but I figured it out by sending an email. The registration just started. So our show is officially registered for the podcast People Choice Awards. Nominations do not start until July 1st this year. So nobody missed anything. But thank you for the emails. That was very sweet. And it made me follow up.
So at least we were able to sign up to be a part of the group of shows that are going to have an opportunity.
Right. So we are registered in the LGBTQ category as a show. People now, because it's the people's choice, now have the choice to vote in July, starting the 1st.
So we'll make sure that everybody knows when it starts.
Yeah, of course.
July 1st. July 1st.
And the only reason I keep plugging this is because, obviously, well, you know.
We're badass!
But like, I just think that we're giving something really important, and I just want people to hear it. So
and we missed it last year. So. Yeah.
And next week's episode is just going to be epic, so I think we're going to win for that one.
I'll cut you. You can find us on social media, Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0, Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0, Twitter, at Gay Talk 20. You can email us at Gay Talk 2.0 at gmail.com. Tom, take it away.
God, she was speeding. All right. Well, you can also, if you need to reach out to us, just head on over to our website and click on the Contact Us tab right at the top of your web browser where you can leave comments, you can suggest topics, submit questions for the cast, or you can call us. And to do that, all you have to do is just dial 334-GAY-TALK. And if you need all the numbers, that's 334-429-8255. Don't forget that we do stream our show every Monday night at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. Now, before we wrap it up, I have to do one more thing to make sure we get it in there, and then we'll say goodbye. Tonight's episode is brought to you by Innovative Heating and Cooling, LLC, a Connecticut-based business servicing the greater New England tri-state area. From maintenance and repairs to replacements, conversions, and even new installs, Innovative Heating and Cooling provides professional top-quality work for both commercial and residential customers. Call our friends Garrett and Kyle today and schedule your free in-home estimate by calling 203-283-7272. You can follow them on Facebook at Innovative Heating and Cooling. Now back to the show.
Bye!
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.